Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Is here, a Clinton supporter, senior political commentator, Scotty Neil Hughes, a Trump supporter and political commentator, Anna Navarro. Panel, thank you very much. I want you to listen again to Donald Trump speaking to NBC's Billy Bush. This is 2005.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case they start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just, like, I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
So, Gloria, you have that. And then you have the story by Nicholas Kristof, which you just heard. What's your reaction?
And so much more, Don. Well, my reaction is that Donald Trump presents a real and present danger, both to the image and to the status and also to the condition and to the rights of women. This is not just about vulgar behavior. This is about harmful behavior. Don, if we're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace, the courts would talk about, is this severe or is it pervasive? Well, this is both severe and pervasive. And as was pointed out earlier, this is part of a pattern of conduct. We're talking about people on The Apprentice complaining that they allege that Mr. Trump was talking about their breast size. We're talking about Rancho Palos Verdes, the Trump golf course here in Southern California, where employees alleged that they were not permitted to serve food in the restaurant because they weren't attractive enough. They were in fear of being retaliated against. This is very serious behavior. And anyone who decides to vote for Trump is condoning it.
Okay.
And anyone who tries...
Well, the Kelly File is tonight getting an exclusive look at a strongly worded message from one Hollywood icon. And the man does not mince words. While one legendary actor's off-the-cuff comments for an ad campaign wound up on the cutting room floor of that Get Out the Vote effort, we have obtained an exclusive look at this actor's comments, and you know him very well, and here are Robert De Niro's thoughts on Donald Trump.
I mean, he's so blatantly stupid. He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. He's an idiot. Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to
tell us how you really think, Robert.
Well, I'd like to punch him in the face. This is somebody that we want for president? I don't think so. What I care about is the direction of this country. And what I'm very, very...
All right, that was a little bit of taste of what some people around the country feel about Donald Trump. Feel how they, and some of them aren't afraid to say how they really feel about Mr. Donald Trump. Hey, wow, I wanted to let everybody know out there that this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois, and proud of it. We're stationed on the north side of this, on the north side of the city near Lake Michigan, and it is raining, folks. It's raining, it's cold. It really feels like fall, and it really letting us know that winter is just around the corner. And it is, even though, you know, it's nasty outside, it's still sort of a, you know, I mean, a lot of us are not too down about that, you know, because we had a great summer. I think summer was beautiful. It was great. It was, oh man, it was just wonderful. I wish it never left like so many other people in the city of Chicago, but it has, and we have to deal with it. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm here all the time, Monday through Thursday, from 6 o'clock to 7:30, 8 o'clock sometimes. Depends on what's going on the show. My guest is author Craig Wiener. And there's a lot of commentary on the show. There's a lot of insights. We talk about a variety of subjects on this show, topics, not only politics, but, you know, anything that can help make the world a better place, make you a better person, make myself a better person. And that's what this show is all about. I'm still, even though I've been on the show, doing this show for around 2.5 years, it's been fun. I love every minute of it. I love every moment of it. But hey, wow. It's about you. It's about you and making the best out of yourself, being the best that you can, and making sure that the people around you are doing their best and being the best that they can. Get rid of the negative voices. Get rid of the liars. Get rid of the cheaters. Get rid of the people who get rid of those who have such a little bit of power but abusing it and using you to abuse their power with. And be the best you can be. Stop working for someone else. Work for yourself. And because all you're doing is making those people rich. Okay, let's move right along. We'll get back to that a little later on in the show, if I do a whole show, because, hey, wow, this is the second game of the World Series tonight. I mean, the Cubs. Yeah, I want to watch it. I want to be a part of it. And I want to root for it like all other Chicagoans. But the first game, this is the second that's going to start tonight. The second game was yesterday. I mean, if you're downloading or podcasting this show at a later date, you'll know that this show was recorded live on the days of the World Series with the Cubs and the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians. But anyway, at the date of this show, the Cubs game, the first Cubs game, the World Series game was yesterday. And if you watched it, if you paid attention to it, you know that the Cubs got their asses handed to them royally. They lost 6-0, 6-0. You know, nobody saw this coming. No Chicagoan, no Cub fan saw this coming, but it came 6-0. And now they're on their second game tonight, getting ready to start in minutes as I speak. And the Cubs need some runs. They got to get some runs. Are they going to be out of this thing? Are the Indians are going to take it? The Cubs need some runs, and they need them tonight. You know, this is the best of five, I think. They got four more games to win, to try and win, and they need to win. I mean, if they lose tonight and they lose Thursday night, I believe that's when they next time they play is Thursday night. There might as well just be out of it. They're going to be out of it. They're going to come back home without a crown, you know. And the loss, this first loss with the Indians, it, folks, it was a total surprise. Nobody thought that. I mean, yours truly, I actually thought the Cubs were going to beat their asses, but it was the other way around. There was no offense. Within the Cubs on that first game of the World Series. No offense at all. The bats just did not work. They did not work. Let's hopefully they'll work tonight. So welcome to the George Waddle Jr. Show. I'm a little pissed off because my Cubbies lost. They lost. And I have to feel for some of those people who actually went to the games and paying $50,000 and for a seat and $22,000 for standing room only. I feel for those people. They came to see a Cubs win. They did not come to see the Cubs get shut the hell out. And that's what happened. They got shut the hell out. And a lot of the people who bet on the games and bookers, bookies and all of that, you know, I'm pretty sure they were shocked to hell. We all were. I mean, this, as I've said many times on this show, the Cubs, the Chicago Cubs, are a very, 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 very talented team, a young team made up of young people. And they are very talented. And I get a feeling, and a lot of us do, a lot of us Cubs fans around Chicago, we know that the Cubs are going to pull this out. The Cubs are the Cubs. They are of Chicago. They're going to do this. They have to do this because if they lose tonight, then most Cubs fans are going to be saying, well, we got to wait till the next night. They're going to get it. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. Hopefully that's all true. So the Indians really, really crucified the Cubs in the first game of the World Series 2016. So we're going to have to see what's up tonight. All right, Donald Trump. Everybody's talking about Donald Trump. He took a detour off the campaign trail to promote one of his hotels. I mean, this is Donald Trump. He's using his presidential campaign and all the supporters that he has to promote his businesses. Wow, this is something. When you think Donald Trump can't get any lower, he does. He does. Nobody can get as low as Donald Trump. And I'm pretty sure that his surrogates, the people who are going around from all over cable television, every media outlet, they're going to try and spin this, pivot this, and just try to say it's just one of those things. But this is ridiculous. I mean, if you want to be president of the United States, you're going to stay on message. You're not going to let anything deter you. You're not going to detour from your campaigning because you're trying to get every vote there is. I'm hearing he's leading about 3 or 4 points in Florida. But he's going to, even if he wins Florida, he's going to need more than just Florida, you know, because he's down on the ground. He's down there in the mud pertaining to poll numbers. So he's going to need a lot more than Florida. If he wins Florida, that's great, but he's going to need a lot more than Florida because the electoral vote, from my understanding, is out of his reach as of now. And it's about, what, 13 days or something like that from now until the election. And he's going to need a lot. So he should actually stay on message and stay on course with this instead of diverting and going off and promoting his businesses. I think you got to have some kind of balls to do something like that, you know. That's telling you, well, I'm gonna lose anyway, so I might as well start promoting my business. I might as well use my presidential campaign to promote all my businesses. That's loony. That's crazy, especially when you're losing. If you're losing an important election like this, you want to, you know, give it all you got until the end. Then when it's over, you can promote your businesses, your hotels, or whatever you want to do. because majority of Donald Trump's, I mean, if he's making something, he's making it overseas somewhere. But anyway, I mean, that's 347-857-1762 if you want to chime in on this. If not, then that's fine, because the show shall go on, and it will go. And I just don't understand it, that he would do something like that. But like I said, Donald Trump will find up some kind of excuse to say that it was warranted. And his surrogates, like Rudy Giuliani, that guy is sick. Newt Gingrich, he's another sick ass. I mean, these people are just so sick and embarrassing and awful. And, you know, and they are Donald Trump's surrogate. They are awful. They're vile. Ugh. I did vote today, and I'm proud of it. And I hope you go out there and do your duty. Because I voted. Did you vote? I hope you did, or I hope you're thinking about doing it. If you're going to do it, I would probably say early vote. Early vote is just phenomenal. I mean, I tried to vote early yesterday, but the lines were just too long. So I decided to, you know, do something else, and I left, and I went back this morning, and there were no lines at all. I voted after I got through voting. I looked around and there were lines. People are voting. I mean, they are voting. They are concerned about the direction of this country. They are concerned about the direction of this, of the direction that Donald Trump would take this country. I don't think it would be in the right direction. I did not vote for Donald Trump. I'm an independent. And I guess you do know who I voted for. I don't care. That's my vote. I can say who I voted for. And you know, if you don't like who I voted for, then, you know, that's your prerogative. But I did vote. And I want to say to all the listeners out there, whether you're listening live or whether you're going to podcast the show later, which I hope you do, because this is a great show. It's a good show. And I try to make sure of that. Make sure that you vote. No doubt about that. Make sure you get out there and vote. Make sure that everyone that you know at votes. If they're 18 or over, make sure they get out there and vote, you know. And if they have not registered, they still have time to register. Because the election is on November 8th. So, and this is just, you know, a week or so or 2 weeks away. So there's plenty of time for you to try to convince them or persuade them to get out there and vote. Most people are voting. I mean, they're voting with their, I mean, I've seen people come to the polling places to vote in wheelchairs. People are coming, getting up out of nursing homes, getting up out of hospitals and going to vote because they know that this is very, very crucial. We never had an election like this. We never had a campaign to be ran the way it's ran. You know, it's phenomenal. This is historic. I mean, just like the Cubs and the World Series, that's historic. This election is historic. It's going to go down in history forever, as long as Earth is here. It's going to go down in history. People are going to read about this 100 years from now and how effed up it was, how fucked up it was, if I can say the word, is. And it's going to go down in history. So, folks, get out there and vote. Get out there and do your duty. Get out there and do what you have to do, but vote. Vote, 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 vote. And I guarantee you, after you vote, you're going to feel good about it. You're going to feel great about yourself. One of the things about voting, if you vote, you have the right to complain, to bitch about something that's not getting done by the person or persons or individuals that you have cast your vote for. You have a voice when you vote. You have a voice. If you do not vote, you have no voice. And majority of the early voting, as I've said before, majority of the early voting is trending towards Democrats. And Republicans know that. Republicans know that when Democrats vote, they lose. They know that when Democrats do not vote, they win. So this is why a lot of these Republican governors, especially down in some of these southern states, try, and some of them are successful at suppressing the vote because they don't want you to vote. In Florida, they don't want you to vote because they know if you vote, you're going to vote against the Republicans. So they try very hard to stop you, me, and the rest of the world, the rest of Main Street and the middle class from voting. But somehow that's not happening now because people are voting in droves. Hillary is, I mean, she is giddy about this. And I would tell Hillary, if she's listening, or any of her surrogates, do not become complacent. Donald Trump could still win this thing. Donald Trump could come up out of the bowels of hell and take the office of United States of America with or without polls saying that he's capable of doing that. Anything can happen in this election. This has been a weird election. This has been one of the most strangest election, and it's going to be an election no matter who comes out on top, folks. It's going to be an election for the history books, if they're still writing them. Are they still writing history books? Maybe Wikipedia or something. But anyway, the encyclopedias. Anyway, this is an election for the ages. So, folks, if you have not voted, get out there and vote. If it's somebody you know who hasn't voted, please drag them to the polls, even if it means getting them registered. In some places, you need ID. In some places, you do not need ID at all. You just have to have been. As long as you're registered, you don't really need an ID. You know, so. And in some cases, you know, you do need an ID. But to be on the safe side, take an ID with you to the polls. You know, some form of ID to the polls. Even if it's a registration card, take some sort of ID to the polls so you don't have no problem, okay? All right, if you see any kind of anything strange or weird at the polls, make sure you let the judges know. The poll people who are working the polls, who are in charge of the polls, the judges, and so on and so forth. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I voted today, and I feel good about it. Now I can bitch and complain as much as I want to about the system or about our government that doesn't work for us. I mean, I voted for Hillary. There's no doubt about it, but I don't expect Hillary to do anything for me, period. I really don't. I mean, I just don't want to see Donald Trump. I don't think he's fit. I don't think he's qualified. I just don't. And watching him in three debates has proven that to me. The man doesn't know what he's doing. He's just winging it. He is not fit to be president of the United States. I know it's a lot of people out there listening, you know, but he is not. And there is no way anybody can convince me of that. You can talk about what. Hillary and all of her baggage. You can put that up against Donald Trump and his baggage. But based on the three performances that I saw at this debate, Donald Trump is nowhere near ready or capable or qualified to be president of the United States. There I said it. That's how I feel. Let's move on. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's listen to Robert De Niro one more time.
Well, the Kelly File is tonight getting an exclusive look at a strongly worded message from one Hollywood icon, and the man does not mince words. While one legendary actor's off-the-cuff comments campaign wound up on the cutting room floor of that Get Out the Vote effort, we have obtained an exclusive look at this actor's comments, and you know him very well.
Okay.
And
all
here
right,
are Robert
go.
De Niro's thoughts on Donald Trump.
Robert De Niro, folks.
I mean,
actor.
He's so blatantly stupid. He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bull. artist, a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. He's an idiot. Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face. This is somebody that we want for president? I don't think so. What I can...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, the Vice President Joe Biden has challenged Donald Trump to a fist fight. And I don't think it's going to happen. Both of these guys are in their 70s. That would be something to see, right? But he's not the only one that has challenged Donald Trump to a fist fight. I think it was another person. I can't think of it right now who. Yeah, Robert De Niro. And it was Robert De Niro. Yeah, I mean, on the tape you just heard, it was Robert De Niro. That would be something, folks, if that should occur. But I doubt if that occur. They're both totally out of shape. So it ain't going to happen. But it's just amusing to think that something like this could happen. You never know. You never know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me right here on Facebook. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio. Just click it up there and just follow me. It's been great doing the show. I think I'm going to keep on doing it. And it's wonderful. I've been doing it for a few years now. And we're proud of it. We are definitely proud of it. And the World Series, the second game of the World Series tonight, folks. The Cubs got their ass blanked, but maybe they'll do a better job this time. Let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
This is Dr. Weiner. I think we're scheduled to have a show together or something.
Oh, Dr. Craig Weiner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I got you. Yeah, okay. You're fine. You're okay. I got you.
Okay.
All right, Dr. Craig Weiner on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a bio, and you're here to talk about ADHD, I believe.
Yeah. So I'm a clinical psychologist, and I've written 3 books on ADHD, and the books are primarily a way to understand ADHD from the perspective of a psychologist rather than assume that it's a neurogenetic delay. So I help people understand the child's behavior as they're doing something. They're not suffering from something. These are behaviors that get patterned in over time by the way in which the child copes with difficulties in the world, or gets avoids things, or gets attention for things. So that's what the books are about, and we can discuss the kinds of things you want to talk about.
Yeah, we can talk about the subject because there's a lot of people around here, a lot of kids around that's suffering from ADHD. Okay, what about? I mean, does this intertwine with autism?
No, autism is much more like, I guess kids who get labeled as autistic can also get labeled as ADHD, but they're two independent behavior patterns. Autistic is much more kids who aren't doing social behaviors. They kind of withdraw from social behaviors and they get involved with repetitious behaviors.
So autism is basically based on a child's behavior, not on the way that they might move or their physical makeup, or it's just behavior?
Well, what they used to have kids autistic that have mental delays. They weren't connecting with people. Then you have kids who have no intellectual delays, but they're still labeled as autistic without intellectual delays because they're not, they don't seem to connect socially like the rest of us. And these kids start off even as infants not making eye contact. So you have to get these early interventions going so the youngster can start to learn about social behaviors and understanding other people's perspectives. And so you can coordinate your behavior with somebody else. You have to kind of put yourself in their shoes to some extent, or know how to identify feelings and facial expressions. So these are kids who have trouble reading other people's emotions and facial expressions for whatever reasons. Yeah, it's ADHD is another group of behaviors. They talk about it as impulsive or hyperactive or distracted. But
when you say ADHD, you're talking about thinking that's delayed. When you're talking to one of these people with ADHD, they might not, their thinking is delayed, where they may not get what you're saying right at the moment, but a little later on down, they'll figure out what you're talking about, or something like that.
That's the autistic stuff we were just talking about. The ADHD kids are doing a little.
As you can see, I know nothing about it.
Okay. All right. So when they label kids as ADHD, it's usually because they go to school and they're squirming in their seat and they're not doing their work and they're disrupting other people and they're loud and intrusive. And when you want them to be paying attention to what you want them to do, they're not paying attention and they're not doing the things you expect kids to do to show responsibility and do things on their own, so that they're not taking on responsibility or managing time and meeting requirements like you'd hope they would. And usually it starts off because when they go to school, they get identified as kids who aren't cooperative and participating, and they're very difficult to manage in a group of 30 kids because they're disruptive and they're either not participating when you want them to, or they're disrupting when you want them to lay back and be part of a group. They're monopolizing the attention. So
would you say that these kids that you're talking about, would you say that this is a disability?
Well, it's made into a disability in today's world because everything's a disability in today's world. Everybody's got a claim to suffering and inabilities. And you can look at the behaviors in a different way. In what way is the kid coping? So the kid's not squirming in their seat when they're doing something they initiate and enjoy. They're squirming when I'm trying to get them to do what I want them to do. All right. They're not distracted when they're doing something that they want to do. They're distracted when I'm talking to them and they don't want to. It's not listening to me. And they listen to me if they're asking me what I want, if they want my help or something, and I'm saying something and they want me to talk, then they're much more likely to listen to what I'm saying.
You've written three books for parents, how to recognize this in their children, ADHD in their children, and you're probably giving some sort of you're applying some, you want them to, I can't even say it. You're trying to give some sort of experience to make sure that the parents know how to react when they come across a kid with this type of a problem.
Yeah. So I wrote two books for professionals and one book for parents. It's called Parenting Your Child with ADHD, A No-Nonsense Guide to Nurturing Self-Reliance and Cooperation. That was the book for parents. And that's helping parents teach the kids to show more self-reliance, which means they learn how to brush their teeth and
learn
how to do homework without always being told to do every single thing. Shut off the TV, go brush your teeth. How do you teach a kid to show some personal responsibility and initiative? And then how do you teach a kid to cooperate without having to bribe them and force them into it, so that they see the joy of having a relationship with somebody that's mutually caring?
You know, I heard somewhere down the line that a lot of these kids with ADHD are brilliant. Some of them are very smart and intelligent. They're not all, you know, dumb and stupid or anything like that. Some of them are very, very smart and bright. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, yes, it doesn't. If you're really smart, you still might not really learn to coordinate with others in a mutual way. And if you're not bright, then it might be hard for you to meet expectations. So you might not try. You might tune out quickly. You might give up faster if things are more difficult for you. A lot of the kids diagnosed with ADHD have problems that make it more difficult for them to make it in the world. Motor problems, delays, language problems, health problems. But not all kids with any of those problems end up doing ADHD patterning. And some kids are very athletic and do ADHD patterning. So it's not about, it's probably more likely if you have troubles than if you have trouble in school and you have trouble reading, why would you participate and pay attention? You learn to drop out when you're not successful. Everybody does.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the kids who do very well, they still may not cooperate with what the teacher wants. They may feel like it's not challenging, or they may not have learned to accommodate to them. What if they're at home and they learn their parents really indulge them? Why they go to school, they're not learning to cooperate with the teacher. They think the teacher's supposed to do what they want.
So a kid can grow into an adult and still have this ADHD.
Well, because most of us do the same kinds of things throughout life. So if you start off as a kid avoiding things or being intrusive and loud, you're probably going to continue, not everybody continues. What happens is we stop being hyperactive because we don't really looking for a lot of attention. We're eventually, as an adult, you become responsibility avoidant. So the adults are complaining that they don't pay attention, they don't remember appointments, it's like acts of omission rather than commission, but yet they still may come off sometimes as kind of self-involved and intrusive with their spouses. Their spouses end up having to manage all the responsibility. So it's like the continuation of childhood. They didn't do it as a kid. They don't do it as an adult.
Wow, that's frightening. I mean, that's kind of scary, and because I do know I'm more in tune with autism, because it sounds like it's autism, but you say it's two different apples. And you know, it's so as you are a doctor, so what would you suggest to parents who going through something like this with their children?
Well, the typical thing is, because all these diagnoses have been taken over by psychiatry and the medical profession, so they become a book of disorders. So parents go to their doctors or the teachers or everybody else, and they hear your kid might have a disorder. So then they think, well, you must need a drug, and you must need to control the kid because the kid's unable to control themselves. So you're told to put the kid under more stringent controls and direct their actions even more and put them on a stimulant, which really induces more productivity and concentration for everybody. But I think they're finding that when you do these systems, like how well does anybody do in the world after they've been in jail or any institution? You institutionalize the person when you overmanage them. You don't learn how to be independent. So those methods only work as long as the parent's standing over the kid and able to monitor them constantly. And drugs work at first, and all these psychiatric drugs have very terrible long-term outcomes, all of them, for all the diagnoses.
Yeah.
So the long-term,
I agree.
What happens in the body with chronic use of a drug is the body starts to react and compensate for what the drug's doing. Do you get a very different effect if you stay on a drug for long periods of time?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to help parents with kids to see that there's an alternative.
Great, great. Dr. Craig Wiener on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Where can we pick up your books?
Well, you can go to Amazon and look at, you get my book off Amazon. I think every Barnes & Noble was stocking the book in all the stores across the country. And so you can pick it up anyway like that.
called Amazon.com. Is it on Amazon? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a website that you can get my guests to so we can come in now?
Yeah. It's called CraigWiener.com. CraigWiener.com. It's CraigWiener.com.
All right, Craig Reno, is there something you haven't said already that you would like to say to my audience about ADHD?
That if your kid is difficult to manage and doing the behaviors mm-hmm. we're talking about, that it has to do with building a certain relationship with the kid, that you want the kid to want to do these caring things with you. It's not forcing the kid to do what we expect them to do. It doesn't work very well to force any human over the long term. People behave very differently under conditions of coercion versus conditions of more wanting to care or wanting to do something. So you want to help the kid learn the joy of learning and going to school, not the threat of what will happen to them if they don't get certain outcomes. It's not mm-hmm. about creating anxiety for somebody. It's creating. Mm-hmm. It's what's the benefit of doing certain things. So that's kind of the message in general.
All right, Craig, thanks for being on the show. You were great. Bye-bye.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No problem. All right, author Dr. Craig Reno was on the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. This is fun. This is all about making the world a better place.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb.
There are oceans and rivers
enough to cross.
Enough to land
till the end of time.
What the
world needs now, the sweet love.
It's the only thing that there's just.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, the Cubs are up one in the second inning. They are up one, and as I just saw, they're on base. One of the guys are on base. Okay, this is not a sports show. I'm not a sports guy, so, you know, give me a break. But anyway, I am a Cubs fan, and I do live in the city of Chicago, so I'm forced to talk about it, basically. But anyway, they're up by one on the Cleveland Indians right now in the World Series. That's better than what they was last night. They were down 0-0, and they lost the game. So the Indians are up 1-0. That means 1-0 in the World Series. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Chicago's Cubs going to the World Series. They actually are in the World Series, and it's since 1945. However, they have not won a World Series way back in 1908. Wow. I mean, that's over 100 years, folks. So the Cubs are due for a World Series crown. They are due for it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We have been talking to author Craig Reiner. He was talking about HD, AD. You know, in children, which is a great subject, which is a good subject. I'm pretty sure he's pretty well fluent in it. And, you know, I'm learning just like anybody else. And thanks. I want to thank him for being on the show. I try to have people on the show who are going to make the world a better place. And I hope you got those websites and go pick up that book, because it's very, very interesting. All righty. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Like I said before, folks, I early voted today. It felt good. I feel good about it. You know, never, ever think or feel that your vote is not going to count. Your vote counts. It counts. And I guarantee if you voted today or you early voted days ago, or you're going to vote in the future before November 8th, you're going to feel good about it. There's no doubt about it. You're going to feel good about what you've done. And get out there and do it. Get out there and do it. This is an election, like I've said at the beginning of the show, this is an election for the history books. Okay, let's see what we can do here. Talk about times.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
New national CNN poll out for the presidency. Now, Donald Trump, it's almost not fair. The guy's, there's never been a train wreck of this proportion in history. A ham sandwich would be killing this guy in the polls. Am I right? I mean, anybody can run against this guy, but whoa! Hillary Clinton losing to Donald Trump in a national poll. Now, whether that's within the margin of error or if it's this, that, and they didn't ask the question, that is pathetic. Donald Trump, as close to a legitimate clown as we've ever had. He's got the orange hair and the orange face, and he's a maniac and a clown. He's psychotic. He's bankrupt every time he starts a business.
He couldn't make money with a casino.
Couldn't make money with a casino. He's been prosecuted for being a racist, him and his father, for being racists. Couldn't offend. There isn't a group in America left besides white racists he hasn't offended. You're still losing to him. Think about that, what the Democrats did to America. Instead of giving a candidate that people like Bernie said, they forced this down our throat. You know why? Because they don't care about beating Trump as much as they care about keeping the status quo. Here's another reason why maybe she's losing in the polls, because people can't stand her. And we see right through her. Here, look at this. This is from the statements that best describe Hillary Clinton. She has the personality and temperament to serve. Only 42% of America says that. So 6 out of 10 people say she doesn't have the personality or temperament to serve. Does she care about people like you? 2 out of 10 people believe that. 2 out of 10. I'm going to guess the upper 20% of income earners. She shares your values. Again, 2 out of 10 people says 2 out of 10. She shares their values. Honest and trustworthy, 1 in 10. 9 out of 10 people say she's not trustworthy or honest. 9 out of 10 people. And these are the people that the left-wing media is singing her praises, defending her every corrupt move. They can't defend her enough. Paul Krugman can't write enough columns about what a great woman she is. 9 out of 10 people don't trust her. So maybe that's why you picked a horrible candidate, and we were screaming it to people. We were screaming it to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We were screaming it to Joan Walsh. We were screaming it to Rachel Maddow. We were screaming it to everybody at MSNBC and CNN. We were screaming it. And the New York Times, hey, she's a horrible candidate. Nobody liked her back in 2008. Guess what? She got her ass kicked by a black guy with a Muslim name. We rejected her then. What do you think? Why would we want her? Things are only worse now. One guy says, here's a guy named Amir online. He says, note to the Democrats, when you insult voters by denying fair primaries, they probably won't like it. Yeah, so it's come out that her and the Democratic Party were in collusion to screw over a real progressive for somebody with Republican policy positions. Not even Democrat. She's pro-fracking. She's pro-TPP. She's pro-the Exxon pipeline. She's for more deregulation of Wall Street. She's a warmonger. She's not a Democrat. She's not what we consider Democrat. But the Democratic Party, more interested in power than actually beating Donald Trump, rammed her down our throat, which we now know. It was revealed in WikiLeaks. It was revealed. I found this. I don't know who made this. When voting for Hillary after she steals the nomination from your candidate, it's like watching McDonald's workers spit in your sandwich and eating it anyway. But they don't need our votes. Hillary Clinton isn't coming to get my vote anyway. She's not coming after environmentalists. She's not coming after anti-war people or peace wing of her part. She's not coming after us. She's not coming after people who want economic justice, who want to re-regulate Wall Street, who want to break up. She's not coming after us. She knows she's going after Jeb Bush voters. She's going after them. She's not coming after us. She's not coming after Jill Stein voters. And she's losing. This her strategy of going after Republicans is a loser. Let's remember, when the people are presented with a Republican or someone who sounds like a Republican, they choose the Republican every time. Why do people not like her? Why is she losing to Donald Trump in a national poll right now? Why? I'll tell you why. It's not like the Democrats don't know it.
She's not losing to Donald Trump in a national poll. You know, sometimes I may have a lot of guests on the show, but it doesn't mean that I agree with everything that I hear on the show. It's just, this is a show. I'm a radio show host, internet radio show. I have different sides, different views, different topics on the show. You may agree, you may not agree, but I don't agree with everybody come on the show. I don't agree with everybody who call in and give their opinion or their side of the story of what they think about what's going on in the world. I don't agree with all of this stuff, but I respect people for giving their opinion. I respect people for having an opinion or having something to say. That's good enough for me. I may not agree with it, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't agree with some of the things I say. That's fine. I've said several times it wouldn't be any fun if everybody agreed with me. It's more fun if we can disagree. We can agree to disagree. That's great. That's wonderful. Or we can debate it, and that's what makes a talk show. A lot of the clips that I play on the show, I don't agree with, you know, but I agree to listening to people, hearing people, having them on the show. They sound good. They sound great. They sound knowledgeable, but it doesn't mean I'm going to agree with them. If I agree with somebody on the show, it's rarely, but I do agree with people on the show. Like someone comes, like Dr. Craig Wiener was on the show. And I agree with just about everything he said, because he's talking about helping out parents with children with this, some call a disease, with HDHD. And some may even say it's a disability. And I'm not too familiar with the topic myself. And, you know, I mean, I have guests on the show who are a lot smarter than I am. And that's great. That's wonderful, because I've said on the show many times, you're not too old to learn. I'm not too old to learn. You learn things every day. If you stop learning every day, I mean, you can be 90 years old and you still learn stuff every day. If you stop learning, if you cease to learn, then you're dead, period. We all learn something every day. We're never too old to be educated. And that's what this show is about: educating, informing, empowering, and inspiring. And you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Here is Brian Gumbel.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Mary Mitchell of the Chicago Sun-Times has written a beautiful, beautiful article about the late Herb Kent. Herb Kent, if you have not been listening to the show and if you have not been watching your local news here in Chicago, you'll know that Herb Kent passed away over the weekend. He was 88 years old. He had been a DJ, a fixture in Chicago on the radio for 70 years. Everybody who was anybody knew Herb Kent. Herb Kent came into contact with some of the, movie stars, actors, everybody, singers. He's made some of these groups successful, these singing groups, and some of these solo artists out here, James Brown, Jackie Wilson. He played all their records, their songs, Temptations, you name it, the Emotions. He was the fixture. And he had every Saturday he had a show on V103 until he passed away that following evening. And Mary Mitchell, she's a columnist for Chicago Sun-Times, and she's been a columnist for years and years and years. And she knew Herb Kent, as so many people have known him. Herb Kent has shaken hands with mayors, Mayor Daley, Rahm Emanuel, you know, I mean, he, governors, this guy, because he was a fixture on the radio in the Black community, the African-American community. Everybody loved him. Everybody loved his music. Everybody loved the Dusties, old songs that he would take off the shelf and dust them off and play them, you know, on the radio. So he called them, Dusties was his term. I'm pretty sure he probably patented it, you know, Dusties, because that was one of his creations. And he had many creations. So I'm going to see what, actually read the article of what Mitchell, Mary Mitchell, a columnist of the Sun-Times, her take on the death of legendary radio host, 70 years, Herb Rogers Kent. All righty, here we go. I don't know if Herb Kent had a vision of his exit, but I can't imagine it would have been any different than what actually happened. She's probably speaking of the way he died and how he died. He died doing what he loved. Let's go. The legendary DJ got up, went to work at his Saturday radio gig, came home, and passed away hours after hosting his final radio show. Now, that's a way to go. I mean, he went to work that Saturday morning, came home. That evening, he passed away. He was 88 years old. The White House released a statement on Kent's passing that was to be read on V103 Wednesday evening. For more than a half of the time the radio has been around, you could hear Herb Kent's voice on one. That's totally true. I was honored to be a guest on his show for a couple of his famous Battle of the Best segments. Oh yeah, I remember that one myself. A kid from the projects with a voice that would project across a city and a nation. That's the American dream. He was one of the good guys, and we will miss him. That's a quote from President Barack Obama. All right, this is an opinion piece. Though his career spanned 7 decades, that's 70 years, Kent never became irrelevant until the end. He was everywhere, concerts, stepping parties, line dances, keeping the music going at city functions, private events, and of course, on the radio. I once asked him, how was he able to keep working? I never mentioned the word aging or elderly. After all, you don't bring that up with the old word to a man who sports a long ponytail and a cowboy hat. Now, you didn't call Herb Kent old, even though he was 88. You didn't call him old. He told me it wasn't work. He just absolutely loved what he did. And that's what I'm telling you folks right now. I absolutely love doing radio. I mean, I can get all the critics I want. I can get all the people telling me I'm doing this and that wrong. I love what I'm doing. It's fun. And of course, Herb Kent loved what he's doing. Like for myself, you know, it's great. I don't get paid much, if anything at all. And Herb Kent, when he first started out, he didn't get paid much, or if anything at all. I mean, I read somewhere where he gotten his first paid gig in 1945, or was it 1948? But anyway, it was in the 40s before he'd gotten his first pay. And he'd been DJing long before that with no pay. And to come to think of it, there's a lot of people around right now with radio shows. They're footing the bill for their show. You know, I mean, they're footing the bill for the show, you know. And luckily, Herb Kent found someone who was willing to pay him. And it's nothing like getting paid for what you love to do. It's nothing like getting paid for what you love to do. So that's why I say, do what you do. Do what you love and get paid for it. Herb Kent did it. I'm doing it. A lot of us are doing it. Find what you love to do and do it and get paid for it and enjoy it. And the way Herb Kent passed away, the way he left us, is the way everybody, I want to go. I mean, I want to pass away doing what I love. I'll never give it up. I'll never retire. I'm going to keep doing what I love as long as I can do it. Let's get back to Herb Kent. My father scraped up money to buy. This is Mary Mitchell. My father had scraped up money to buy one transistor radio as a birthday present that I had to share with my twin sister. I remember those transistor radios. They were something. Before then, we could only get white stations on the organ size radio someone had gave to my father. When the announcement came in 1963 that Herb Kent was going to be on WVON, it was the beginning of a new era for radio listeners. Black people would actually be able to listen to R&B, rhythm and blues, and doo-wop songs that Kent made immortal as Golden Dusties on the radio. He played those Dusties. I mean, he played those doo-wop songs from the 50s. Doo-wop. Yeah, one of those doo-wop songs were In the Still of the Night, Blue Angel, Blue Diamond or something. Cadillac. I can't remember them, but they're there. I mean, Herb Kent played them. I mean, he played them. He introduced them, those songs, to the young people as we were. And he was phenomenal. Okay, black people would actually be able to listen to R&B and blues and doo-wop songs that Kent made immortal and called Dusties. He used his popular radio program to boost the opportunities for deserving young black artists like Curtis Mayfield, The Impressions, The Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, and Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. He also assisted local civil rights leaders by using his segment to raise awareness about important political issues. As one of the original members of the WVON Good Guys, a group that included Franklin McCartney, E. Rodney Jones, Wesley South, Purvis Spann, Kent helped to lay the foundation for black radio that endured to this day. I think she forgot Butterball. His career spanned three generations, which means my children and grandchildren are nearly as familiar with Herb Kent, the cool gent, as I am. This is a man who gave his life to the field of broadcasting. When you talk about his contribution to radio, you can't limit it to just his work on WVON or V103. You can't. I mean, he's been around. You can't limit it, his work to those two stations. You really can't. Kent had the gifts of innovation and persuasion, and he created imaginary characters that could have been precursors to the wildly popular Pokemon Go craze. For instance, when I remember this, when Kent came up with the fictitious Wahoo Man, people started seeing that imaginary character in trees throughout the city. Wahoo Man. I remember that. In a Facebook page posted in 2010, a commenter who attended Bay Smith Elementary School in Inglewood in the mid-1960s says everyone was scared of the Wahoo Man and all the kids knew of the mysterious man because they were listening to Herb Kent. It was a fictitious character that he created. This is how talented Herb Kent really was. He was a talented guy. In a statement from City Hall, Mayor Rahm Emanuel called Herb Kent an incredible talent, and he was, with an infectious passion for music and unique ability to uplift people's spirits. If you didn't know Herb Kent, if you never met him, if you never heard him on the radio, he was one of the gracious men. He didn't have a hateful bone in his body. He wasn't a racist. He wasn't into politics, but he would have political figures on his show to try to get out a message that was positive and uplifting to the Black American community. He was a great guy. His passion for radio and his work ethic was second to none. If there is dancing, folks, we know that he will be spinning tunes in heaven. And Herb Kent, wherever you are, man, bless you. We love you. Keep doing what you're doing, spinning records and motivating people up there among the clouds in the sky. And you were great. All right, welcome to the George Waddle Jr. Show. We just got through talking about Herb Kent. I think this is the third show that I've mentioned Herb Kent, because he was such a phenomenal figure on the scene in Chicago. And as I speak, they're still gathering his funeral, gathering things for his, I guess, information for his upcoming funeral, wake, burial, and all that kind of thing. And wow. It's just, I mean, he was a fellow radio host. You know, I mean, he was family. To me, he was family. And it's rough when you lose someone in your family that was so such a giant figure as Herb Kent in the African American community. But I think that Herb Kent actually went above and beyond the African American people. I think he was a musician not for just African Americans. He was a musician for all of Chicagoans. He was a musician for all of Chicagoans. He did not have a hateful bone in his body. He was a gentle guy. He was beautiful. He was wonderful. I even read parts of his book. He written a book in 2010. I read parts of it, some of it, and it was phenomenal too. Herb Kent, the cool gent, passed away last weekend, but he will still be in our hearts. What's the score? Cubs?
With some of the things that keep us dumb. The media, in particular the local news, 50% of airtime is wasted on previews of the shallow stories that are coming up next. The lead stories are usually the most disgusting and evil things they can dig up for that day. For instance, anything involving Black youth will be a top story. Anything involving Black youth and violence will be even on top of the top story. anything involving black on black crime will be a top story. Anything involving black on white crime will be an even more top story. So you get the idea. They lie about everything. The weather reports are always wrong, except in places like Hawaii. And then they always have a daily health report by a, quote, specialist, except the people usually give out the wrong advice. And then they always end the report with, check with your doctor before following any of these tips. So that should tell you right there that it's questionable and suspect. Gas prices ending with 0.9 cents. I never quite understood this. Although I don't drive, I prefer to be driven. But I do observe things when I'm on the road. And in the early days, gas actually sold for 9.9 cents per gallon. So it wasn't dumb back then. But nowadays, it's ridiculous. And the day is coming when gas is going to cost 79.99 cents. And this display will look like this. Okay, this might be a West Coast thing, but it's gotten over here as well. I used to associate it with Valley Girls. Back in the 80s, 90s, we used to mimic the Valley Girls when they would say things like, oh, and I'm like so happy to like be here, and he's like really cute, and you know, like was like the insert word for whatever you were getting ready to say. And it sounds ridiculous. It did back then, and it still does. Okay, I know a lot of you are big fans of Costco, Walmart, Sam's Club, but I gotta say something about especially Costco's. Now, one, you have to buy a membership. What happened, people? Who's dumb enough to pay a store to allow them to shop there? That's number one. Then I heard they don't take food stamps. So there goes, you know, a big piece of your market, Costco, from the people who get food stamps. Why can't they shop with what their money's not good enough? So I just really have an issue with this because it's sort of like an elitist type thing. And I understand you have to buy in bulk and all of that. So, you know, me being single with no children living in my home, I don't see the need to buy in bulk. That's just the only thing I buy in bulk is toilet paper because I'm obsessed with running out of it. But other than that, I don't see stocking up on food or anything. Not at this point. At some point, it will become necessary, people, to stock up as we get closer to Armageddon. But for right now, you can still have just your little, you know, necessary items. But I don't like these Sam's Clubs, Costco's, and all these places that have turned it into just a real hustle. That's what it is. Okay, yeah, the prices are good. I get it. And you save money. But I understand it's always crowded in these places. And that some of the deals are not that great. So bear that in mind when you go to these joints. Okay, so award shows are just an inexpensive way for the networks to bring out the top actors and actresses and performers and get them to appear in a TV show for free by offering them glory, a little gift bag, and some cheap little statues. That's really what it boils down to. Political parties are another hustle. In America, they have two goals: make the other party fail, and two, take money from lobbyists to refund re-election, to fund re-election campaigns, and then we re-elect them. That's pretty much what they do. Here's a little history for y'all. The Ford Model T got 24 miles per gallon. So what's our problem? Okay, useless ads. This is another way that they dumb down America. Millions of dollars are spent every day to advertise products that really don't need any advertising. For instance, Tampax. Everybody knows what they've got to do when that time comes. So to advertise them are just useless. This is something that you're taught at home before you even get out in public. You're taught about these things, so most people know what Tampax are for. And those ads, they just are making people dumber. Okay, another trend right now, which is also keeping America dumb, is the illusion that certain products, especially candy and dessert products like cake and stuff, are fat-free. To hell they are. I'm fat, and I eat fat-free stuff, and I'm still fat. So don't believe it. Okay, how they were able to pull this off, I don't know. But this is considered politically correct. A restaurant named Sambo's, and then you've got the sexy, and all of these things are stereotypical. You've got the sexy flight attendant, and then you've got my favorite, Aunt Jemima. Another case of political correctness is when they decided that calling homeless people bums were an insult, and so the word was changed to homeless. And I remember as a child hearing an adult say, oh, you better do this, you better do that, or you're going to grow up to be a bum. And now, of course, people don't tell their children, if you don't work, if you use drugs, if you spend all your money and don't pay your bills, you're going to wind up to be a bum. No, they tell them you're going to wind up to be homeless. And you know, political correctness, I don't even know where that term came from. But we used to say, call a spade, and basically that, you know, that's derived from the card game. But the message and the connotation is the same. I call it like I see it. I was homeless, and I was homeless because of a lot of factors. But one of them actually was because I was a bum. I was a bum. When I didn't pay my rent, I was a bum. When I put my weed habit over my bills, I was a bum. And when I indulged in a lot of stuff that I couldn't afford at a time when I couldn't afford it, I was a bum. So we call it like we see it. Another thing that these politically correct people have changed, because they assume that we have a problem with it, is that the handicapped are no longer called handicapped, they're called disabled. What's the difference? We still can't do things. I don't mind being called handicapped because I am unable to do the things that I used to do when I was not handicapped. However, it's considered more politically correct to refer to us as disabled. I don't see the difference. This is going to shock some of you, but most of you already know it. Most of that water you're buying, it's tap water. I've been drinking tap water. I put it in my fridge. I've been doing this for years. And guess what? I'm still here. You're wasting your money, folks. Most of that water came from someone's sink. Debit cards, another scam. If you can't control yourself with a credit card, then you definitely can't control yourself with a debit card either. The only difference is that the debit card is only fun while it has money on it, so you can't borrow against the debit card. And that was the whole purpose of creating it, so that these people who don't pay their bills don't have to worry about it.
Okay, Donald Trump's grand opening hotel is greeted with a boycott. Go figure, huh? All righty. When he puts his name on a historic building on America's main street, he mocks all of us. Okay, Donald Trump's new luxurious hotel in downtown Washington continues to attract masses. If only they were looking for rooms. They're not. They're boycotting. And I've also heard that Donald Trump is some of his businesses, is anything with his name on it, people are staying away from. People are staying away from anything that has his name on it. So his businesses are not doing very well. Okay. As the real estate developer cut the ribbon at a grand opening ceremony inside the hotel Wednesday. Anti-Trump protesters assembled outside its doors to denounce the Republican presidential nominee and call for a boycott of his properties. Trump called the grand opening a metaphor, and indeed it was, though not the kind he imagined. With less than 2 weeks before the election, Trump